We want to discuss some of the ideas, some of what's going on in the Chayt of Adam Rishon. Specifically, we'll look at generally first of all, then specifically generally, that everything in the Sedra Bereishis we know is really the Shrosh and the roots of everything there is in the whole of Torah. The famous story of the Vilna Gaon said, who once said that actually all Tayag Mitzvahs are really there in the first parasha of the Torah, and the first parasha means the first five Tzvikim. The first day of Ma'aseh Bereishis has all Tayag Mitzvahs in the concept behind that is that in Torah always the beginning really has everything else in it. Everything is always an extrapolation of that which occurs at the beginning, at the core, and in the same way that when a child is conceived or life is conceived, already all the information of everything that will come after it is there from the beginning. Similarly, in the Torah as well, everything is contained at the core. So the Gra famously said that all Tayag Mitzvahs can be found in the first day of Ma'aseh Bereishis, and those first eight psukim. And some versions of the story, it was actually to Pidgin Aben where he said it, probably speaking about the idea of a Bechor having the Kedusha of the Reishis, and so somebody asked him, so where's the mitzvah of Bechor, of Pidgin Aben, of redeeming a child after 30 days in these first eight psukim? You don't see any tzivuim, any mitzvahs in the first eight psukim. So he famously pointed out the word Bereishis, which is Mamash the first, is an acronym of Ben Rishon Acharei Shloshim Yom Tifdei. That in other words, the mitzvah is Mushrash, of course, in the first word. And if the person was the Gra, then they could see all Tayag Mitzvahs in actually those first five Tzvikim potentially, in the Chayav verse Parashat, the first five Tzvikim. But be that as it may, that means to say that all the different episodes and elements that go into the Sefer Bereishis and certainly the Sedra Bereishis are going to be the Shroshim of everything else that occurs, which is why when one looks at the Midrashim on Sefer Bereishis are disproportionately large, and on the Sedra Bereishis are also enormous. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I mean, there's pretty much almost as much written about the Sedra of Bereishis, I think, in the Medrash Rabbah as there is in the whole book of Devarim. Well, there the Rabbah borrows the Tanchuma, but it still is a huge amount, because these are the Shroshim of everything that goes on. And that means that the Chet of Adam Rishon is obviously the Shoresh, is somehow the root of all of any Chet that's ever done. And this is something, therefore, that has extra value. Everything has had extra value study, but there's something that hopefully we can glean that has with it roots that go far further than this. This is why, of course, the Gemara variously describes the Nachash as a Mesis. A Mesis is normally somebody who turns somebody away from the whole of Torah, implying that in this one Chet, the Nachash moved Adam away from everything. And why the Gemara describes him Adam as a Min, normally you think one Aveira doesn't make a person a Min. And again, but Pashtus, there's other Mahachan, but Pashtus, that's it. This is the movement away from everything. And what's happening within this episode is really a story of how everything can go wrong. And there's many, many different things to discuss. I want to focus on one particular. This is the particular point. Now that was the general. Now the particular element that I would like to focus on this morning is the pitoy of the Nachash. What was it that got Adam? What was it that was really going on in his chayt? And what was it that got Adam to do what he did? What is it that allowed Adam to fail over here? And the reason that has extra strength to it is because we understand that after the Chet of Adam Rishon, the Zuam of the Nachash, the poison of the snake, is a part of the fiber of our being. Since the Chet of Adam Rishon, the Nachash, the Yetzirah, the Satan, lives inside us. It becomes a part of the way we think, and it's a challenge that's a war from within. It's a part of it, it speaks to us in the first person. It uses the word I want this, and it makes us think it's us. But before then, the Sefarim HaKadoshim bring, and it's obvious that the Nachash is an external force. It's something that's external, and therefore it needs more understanding as to what would have prompted Adam to violate the Ratzon Hashem. It's something that's external to him. So I want to bring two different Makoros that together, I think, build at least a significant part of the picture that we'll hopefully be able to cover this morning. And those two as follows: the Rambam in the beginning of the Moreh Nevuchim, and the Shlach HaKadosh in his Pirush on Bereishit. But let's examine carefully just inside the Pesukim themselves. Inside the Pesukim themselves, we see something when the Nachash is trying to be Mefata, the Nachash is trying to persuade Chava, she's not yet called Chava, the Isha, to violate to eat the pri, to eat from Neitz Hadas. We search and we try to look through the psukim and see what was the sheker that the Nachash used. What did the Nachash say that wasn't true? And it's not as obvious as it seems, because we, if you look inside Perek Gimel Pasuk Daled, Vayomer Nachash al Isha Lo Mos Demusim. Even earlier than that, he says, Akiyam Alakim Lo Sechel Bekal Eitz Hagan. Did God say you can't eat from the trees? And she says, no. We pre-ate the gan Nechol. We can eat from all the fruit that we want to. And we pre-ate the Shev Sechel Hagan. There's one particular tree whose fruit we can't eat from. Amalakim Lo Sechel Menu Lo Sechel Menu Belo Sigur Bo Pentamusim. There's a death penalty for eating from it. And the Nachash says he won't surely die, which on a very poshut level he gets right. They don't actually die. We understand that Misa comes into the world, but on a poshut pshat of those psukim, we need to understand that we're not going to be able to cover that this morning, on what level there was a Misa. But at least on the poshut pshat here, we don't see a sheker over here. But here comes the more interesting thing. Says the Nachash, ki yedeh lakim ki b'yayim acholchem memenu, that on the day you eat from it, he says, first of all, your eyes will be opened. You're going to be like God, or like God. You're going to be the one to know good and bad. Now, ordinarily, we'd assume that somewhere in that pasuk, somewhere in pasuk hey there, lies the sheker, lies the lie or the deceit or the falsehood to the Nachash employed to get her to fail. And the next pasuk is all the wonderful things that she sees in this thing. You know, that's it, and then all of a sudden it's over. She it's all gone. But then what's fascinating is we suddenly see that everything the Nachash says will happen, happens. The Nachash doesn't seem to be lying at any point. The next pasuk is, the eyes were opened. Which begs the question, were they blind before? So Yehudikir, remember the name, so then men came to the Kod of Hashem Elokim, in the garden, they hide. And then, all the way down, further on, to Pasuk Chof Beis, most surprising, you find, Vayomer Hashem Elokim, Heina Adam Haraka Achad Mimenu, Lada'as Tov Ra. Exactly what the Nachash said. Man has become like God, and knowing good and bad. Which is amazing. The Nachash didn't seem to have any shaka to what he says at all. Everything seems to be accurate. What's that? That was a question. The Pashto is not a shaka either. He asked, Ask Yom Elokim, did God say that Lilloy Sechel Mikol Eitz Hagan? And she says, no, that doesn't seem to fool her. And then he starts to say, hey, well, I'll tell you the truth. You're going to still be alive, your eyes will be opened. You'll know, you'll be God, you'll know God, and all of it seems to occur. So it's difficult to seem to pinpoint on a poshut level while the Nachash seems to say that's wrong. So we'll start with the Rambam, and the Rambam says the following. In the beginning of the Moreh Buchim, right in Chelek Aleph, in the second Perek, he says that he was once asked the following question by a Chochom, and the Rambam doesn't call somebody a Chochom lightly. He calls this person a Chochom, and this Chochom was bothered by the following issue. The Chochom was bothered by the fact that Chait comes into the world through eating a tree called an Eitz Hadaas, a tree of knowledge. So this fellow is particularly bothered by how can it be that all of human knowledge is a Chait? How can it be that philosophy and mathematics and art and whatever else they knew in those days, Chochmah that they knew in those days, is a Chait? Could it be? And the Rambam feels there's enough in that question to call him a Chochom. But the Rambam says the two things. So first of all, it's not an Eitz Hadaas in general, the tree of knowledge. It's an Eitz Hadaas Tovara. But even more powerful than that, what's fascinating is, did Adam have knowledge before he eaten this Eitz Hadaas? Of course he did. He's in direct contact with Hashem. He can look at all the animals and name them, and give them a shame that is the emet of what the thing is. He somehow knew how to look at things and give them and identify them the way Hashem himself would. Adam certainly has knowledge. And even to know what's right and wrong, Adam knew what's right and wrong before the chait. Surely, what was right and wrong before the chait? What was wrong was Ra was to eat from the Eitz Hadaas, Tovara. And Tovara, so Lichori had all knowledge. So the Rambam says that there's a profound difference between Tovara, which Adam gets from the chait, and what Adam had before, which was not a knowledge of Tov and Ra, but a knowledge of Emes and Sheker. And the difference is in the following sense. to elaborate a little bit, but to be able to see that what the Rambam is saying. The difference is like this, is that Emes and Shechem means there's reality and there's illusion. Rotzon Hashem is reality and everything is just an illusion. It's not real. Tov and Ra, on the other hand, this is true in the English language too, it's probably true in every language in the world. Tov and Ra are expressions that we can use for value, for the value of an action that we do. Is it right, is it wrong, it's good or bad. And we also would use it for all sorts of other things. In fact, all of aesthetics. If you think about it, the language we use for ethics, for right and wrong, for what's in the world, is identical to the language we use for aesthetics, for our senses of relating to the world. I'll give an example. If a person saw a very nice scene, a beautiful sunset, or heard a wonderful piece of music, or anything like that, the vocabulary we'd use to describe it, anything from it's beautiful, or wonderful, or amazing, or great, or good, is the same as the vocabulary you might use to describe a tremendous ma'aseh chesed or something like that. It's wonderful, it's beautiful, it's tremendous, it's great. It's the same vocabulary. And the same conversely, if we're in a sight or sound or smell or something that's horrific or horrible, we'll say horrific, horrible, revolting, terrible. And similarly, if we see a ma'aseh ra in the world, or something that it's revolting and disgusting and horrific and horrible, we use identical lashonos. Why do we use those particular words? Because we're never really describing, when we see a sight or sound or smell or taste, we're not really describing the thing as it is. We're describing the impact it has on us. We're describing what's happening within us. I feel something wonderful or beautiful or amazing or exciting or whatever it may be. I feel something inside me feeling sick or revolted or disgusted if it's not nice. And point out the Rambam, therefore, when we use the words Tov and Ra, we're doing exactly the same when we use them to describe actions too. Something about this act feels that I'm seeing this chesed, this Tov, the person, it feels good, it feels right, something inside me resonates with it, but it's talking about me. And something inside me, when I see something being done that's tumah, it feels filthy and revolting, it feels ra, it feels bad inside me. But I'm therefore not describing things as they are Aliba the emes necessarily. What I first at contact with is what's happening inside me. I'm describing the world through me. And that's the movement out of emes and shekhar into Tov and Ra. And that's a movement of moving out of the world where you're in contact with the Rabbi Shalom and with reality as it is objectively, and into a world that is completely subjective. And it's in that world that the beginning of all problems lie. Because it's the world in which I see reality through my little eyes, the way I see reality through my own world. I see reality in which I am the God who decides good and bad. And this is Mamash the Psukim. This is exactly the Pitta of the Nachash. It's so beautiful. That he says that your eyes will be open. You'll see the world through your eyes. Till then they had a sense of reality that wasn't through their little world, but now that's what's going to become. You'll be good about them. Rashi actually says, on that pasuk that Yisem Kelakim Yoytzer Alomus, you'll create worlds, and there's many, many levels to what that means. But on the simple, that's it. You're now in your little world. You're in your little world, and in our little world, when we're the center of existence, and I see reality through my eyes, somebody's nice to me is a good person, somebody does something wrong to me that I feel I'm wrong, it becomes an evil person, I'm irredeemably evil, and anything they do, and that becomes the yesoda and the shorish of all right in the world, the inability of people to get along, the breakdowns in relationships, the breakdown ultimately in the relationship between us and Hashem, certainly the breakdown in us and other people, and all of this becomes mushrash in the fact that we see reality through our eyes and through nobody else's. We see the world through our little bubbles and our little illusions and our little things as if they're deadly real. And that becomes the beginning of the understanding of the hate. But there's something I want to be motive on this, and that's what the Shlach HaKadosh adds. And he says, Lichayra, according to this, then the Nachash has said nothing that's false. The Nachash has said things that are true. But Adam should have that for whatever reason, and it's going to be beyond the scope of our limited time this morning. Rav Dessler has a beautiful, there's many, many, many Mepharshim, it's fantastic. Well, why Adam still chose that way. But the point is that what's being offered here is literally subjectivity and all that can come with it, all that's good and all that's horrific with it. Says the Shulchan Aruch, there was a sheker. There's an element of sheker here. The Shulchan Aruch identifies two. We're going to just focus on one of them this morning. He says that, he says, if you look in the Torah, so right at the beginning, we're all familiar with the fact that it says Bereishis Bara Elokim Es HaShamayim Es HaVeitzaret, and Rashi points out straight away that it used the name Elokim and not the name Hashem. Why? Because B'tchil Olav Machshava, the original Aliyah B'Machshava was to build Libroisa B'Midas HaDin. So we have and the name Elokim is consistently and exclusively used all the way through all the Shiva Yimei Bereishis, all the way up to the end of Shabbos. This is the Aliyah B'Machshava, this is the ideal thing that's fully B'Midas HaDin. And then comes the story as to how it actually came out, and there was a hakdama of the midas harachamim too, and that's from Pasuk Dalet of Perek Beis. Eila told us a shamayim b'ha'aretz b'hibaram b'yom asayt Hashem elokim eretz hashamayim. And from there on, the Torah keeps using the name Hashem Elokim consistently all the way through. Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim. Says ki lo yimtzei Hashem elokim haaretz v'adam ayin aved adam. Pasuk Vav. Everything is the name Hashem Elokim. And we're used to understanding the names Hashem Elokim as Din and Rachamim, which is valid and is actually accurate, and there are the outcomes of the Anhogas of Hashem Elokim. But the Shlokas point out there's something higher. There's something that is more essential to, or this, or at least let's deal with a different aspect of the two names. And the different aspect is as follows. You see, the name Elokim refers to Din, it refers to, in fact, all systems of laws and rules and power and control. It always does. When we use the name Elokim in davening, we always mean Balakoychis Kulam. That's what we mean. We see all the, what that means is that we see all the Koychis. That's the part of it. We see laws of nature, we see, may see some of the laws that govern the world on a ruchistic level, and we understand that there's a baal of all these koichos, and it's the same baal, and it's Adonai Kodesh. So we don't use the Kavanah Adonai Kodesh, which is baal of koichos. The Hashem actually has the power over everything. What that means is we begin from looking around us and seeing the koichos, and we recognize that they are all subject to Hashem. Which is why the name Elokim, the exact same spelling, can also be used for other things that have power. In its chol usage, the same letters. Elohim could be other koichos. If we just look at some of the koichos without connecting them to Hashem and start to chatz on a person who is over them, they're over Elohim Acherim. But they're real, their powers and koichos are just not being attributed to the shorish, to the source. Or Elohim as Dayanim. Judges, any of us power and control, anything that can attribute, create and enforce law is called by that same name Elohim. When we understand that it's rooted in the absolute source of Hashem, then we call it Elohim, it becomes Hashem Kodesh. But what it means is that what we're first perceiving is the power's control, and we're then attributing it to Hashem. Masha'en came the name, the Shem Havaya, the name Yudke Vavke, which can never have a chol usage. And what it means in the simple kavanah, in the kavanah that we have in Halacha, the kavanahs that we use, our pshut is hoyvan yehiya, that which is everything and the source of everything, and Adonai, the master of all. You know, there's nothing specific that we're looking at and then relating that back to Hashem. It's as it were, Hashem as He is. As it were. Of course, that far we never get to in our Kavanah, but as it were. In other words, Elokim is as it were Hashem as we see Him. We see a world with laws and nature, and we understand that it's rooted in Hashem. But the name Yudke Vavke is as it were Hashem as He is. And the lesson of using both names is that in every relationship there's always two aspects. There's the way you see things, and then there's an understanding that beyond what you see there's something else, there's something that's a reality beyond what the way we like it, the way we see things. And so in the process of creating Adam, of course the effect of those things that are Din and Rachamim, the laws and the rules and so on, is Din. The fact that Hashem are the rots and the hated means there'll always be Rachamim built into the world. That's the effect of those two names. But the names themselves are Hashem as we see it and Hashem in essence, as it were. That's an approximate, it's not precise, but that will do for now. So this is our condition. Now watch this. Everything when it comes to creating Adam Rafael is using the name Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim, all the way through the Pesukim, all the way from basically from Pasuk Dada to Perek Vav, sorry, Perek Beis, which is all the description of the way things came out with the Shittah of Midrash Rachamim, and everything Pasuk tells the Yavnach Hashem Elokim El Adama, everything the Nahar that goes out and all four the Roshim, and then Vayikach Hashem Elokim Et Adam, Vayitzav Hashem Elokim El Adam, everything is Roshim Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim all the way through, and then Vayitzav Hashem Elokim El Adam Kol Chayas Asada, etc., etc., etc. Finally it comes to V'hanochosh Vayorim Mikol Chayas Asada She'osa Hashem Elokim. The Nochosh is the most cunning of all of the animals Hashem Elokim made. Vayomer Isha, and he says to the Isha, Aski Omar Elokim. Did Elokim say to you, Laisech Lemikol Eit Adam? He dropped the name Hashem. And she falls for it. Vatayim Isha Nochosh V'priyat Nechol V'priyat Hashem V'sach Gan Omar Elokim. She fell for his trick. The shaker was, let's forget talking about Hashem. Hashem's too difficult to relate to. Infinity, absolute, source. That's what God as he is. Let's talk about Hashem as you see him. Elokim. You see rules and koichos and this, you attribute them to Hashem. Oh, how does that feel? Well, that feels good. Well, I can offer you even more. You could actually become like that yourself. You could now be the source. Look, it looks good to see the world through your eyes. You could see everything through your eyes if you want to. And then you could be a Bonei Olamos. And you could open your eyes and be a Yodei HaTov HaRa and become everything. And this becomes the picture of the Nochosh, at least in a key element of it, that gets her to fail. And in the Pesukim, it's so glad, it's amazing. And all the way through it goes, and then she does the, then she goes and does the chait, and then it's like a perfect chas, what happens? Vayishmu es koil Hashem Elokim mitalech bagan ruach hayam v'ischave adam v'ishtay mitpnei Hashem Elokim v'soich eitz hagan. The voice that they're scared of is the voice of Hashem Elokim comes back into the gan, and that's what they hide from, and are no longer able to face. And this, of course, now carries all the way through Torah, where the name Hashem Elokim is almost never used together again. Until Mamad Har Sinai, when Hashem reveals, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. When you can bring the two together, that's when you're ready to receive the Torah. When you're ready to face reality, that's when you're ready for the relationship with Hashem. And then comes the Chet HaEgel. And in the Chet HaEgel, we don't want to see Hashem as he is. We want to have a contact on our terms. We want to have our way of relating to Hashem. We want to have our images. And they say, Eile Eloihecha Yisrael. Same process again and again and again. And we try and say every day, Shema Yisrael Hashem Eloheinu Hashem Echad. What's happening is that the Shorash is the real root and the real question, the real avodah of every Jew and everybody, the real trying to get back into Gan Eden and back onto those darakas, is going to be the struggle to break out of our little way of seeing things, break out of our little bubbles, and connect Hashem in ways beyond which we can relate to necessarily, in which we can see. And that means, and this has a huge, this is one of the reasons why I say that the Gemara is always based on Hava Amina Amaskana, because I've always got to realize that Hava Amina, this is the way I would have seen reality, but now let me break beyond it. Why, to get back to the another beautiful expression of this is that we say that in Gan Eden, the Zuam of the Nochosh, the poison of the snake entered into the fabric and fiber of the being of the human being. And the Pasku Zuam Osan, the removal of that poison took place, the way we used to say at Mamad Har Sinai. But in fact, says Chazal, it took place when they used the words Na'asa Benishma. Why? Because Na'asa Benishma means, first of all, Na'asa, I'm going to do it whether I know it or not, because it's reality. But Benishma, I'm also going to try and learn and understand why it is that case. Because when I do a Benishma on something that I wasn't able to understand previously, I have transformed myself and begun to see things more clearly. And Mechaber the name Hashem Elokim. First of all, I commit to what Hashem wants because he wants it. And second of all, I then make myself closer to that, break free of my little silly ways of seeing, or my little subjective ways of seeing things, and connect deeper, and break out of that, and connect deeper to Hashem. And Dafka the Egan Azal, which is going to be, no, I want to see, I want to choose the way I relate to Hashem, is going to be the undoing and the undoing too. And that means, and that becomes a huge opening for all of our Avodas Hashem. It becomes a huge Pesach for all of our Avodas Hashem. Because what it means is, that the root of everything we're trying to do is always break beyond, always go the extra, always go beyond the little bubbles of what we have. And this is why the whole Ben Odin Chavera Avoda, obviously, but even the Ben Odin Mokam Avoda has to be in the same way. But it's always recognizing that we're limited and trapped in our own little bubbles, and it's the ability to break beyond those that will allow us back to a pathway that's going to be something that allows us the real Hashem, the connection of Hashem Ruah Elokim, the connection of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokim Hashem Echad, that becomes our avodah. I just say that there's many levels and elements to all of this, but at least as far as the beginning of the Pesach of understanding, I think we've covered quite a lot. But There's one final little thing, maybe we'll just throw in here. One final little thing. And that is that Rashi brings this earlier. Right? Rashi brings the Shoyosh of the Chet of Adam Rishon that's deeper than all of this. And that's the Chet of the Adama. Rashi says right back in the third day of Ma'aseh Bereishis, he says that there's lechayra contradiction. It says Vayom Elokim Tadshe Haaretz Dashe Eitz Mazir Zera Eitz Puri Oisa Puri Yemina Asher Zera Bela Zayichem, and Eitz Puri Oisa Puri. He wants a fruit tree that produces fruit, and when it actually comes out, it comes out as an Eitz Oisa Puri, a tree that produces fruit. And Rashi points out the difference between the two. A fruit that's what a fruit tree that produces fruit. Surely every fruit tree produces fruit, and surely a tree that produces fruit is a fruit tree. Says Rashi, no, that back then there was what was meant to be, what Hashem asked for was Tam Eitz Tam Peri Hashav, that the tree would be a fruit tree and produce fruit, meaning the bark, the tree itself, would be fruitish, would taste like fruit. And what came out instead was a tree that produced fruit, but the bark doesn't taste good. And the Rashi says that was the chait of the Adama, and therefore when Adam does his chait, so the Adama is punished with him, which is why it says Arura Adama Vavorich, everything goes down together. And there are many, many questions on this. Because we only have 2 minutes, I'll just touch upon a key issue. By the way, if you look carefully at the discussion between the Nachash and the Isha, you'll see them constantly swiveling between whether discussing the tree or the fruit, and on a very deep level the Nachash has been ramming back to this. But what's going on here? What do you mean Adama did a chait? Adama doesn't have the chumrah. It's enough choice, you know. What's going on? So especially because all this the Aliyah b'Machshava, this is Hashem's plan. I mean, this is you can't really. So the Maharal is something that's a Pesach to everything and links straight back into what we were saying. And the Maharal says that what's actually going on is that the Chait is Be'etzem. There's no other way of anything happening but this Chait. The Adama had no possibility of translating Hashem's instruction. Why? Because that's the difference between Shamayim and Aretz. What do you mean that the bark tastes like the fruit? You see, what a tree is something that grows and grows and grows and eventually produces fruit. That's what it is. It grows and grows and grows and eventually produces fruit. And we say later on in the Torah, Adam ate Asada, that there's an element of the human that is deeply connected to that of the tree. Because we also grow and grow and invest and build and grow and build and build and eventually produce fruit. Klal Yisrael through history has to grow painfully. Upwards and further and more and upwards and painful and grow this and eventually produce fruit. Eventually have the payers that come from the work that we did. We in our own lives have similar things, whether it's in the Tzagid or Bonner, whether it's in Avodah, in being Kohen Torah, in whatever areas, there's growth and growth and growth and eventually payment. Unlike your rockets that produce things straight away, but they die. The tree, it grows, and eventually produces fruit, but when it produces fruit, there's fruit forever. That's what we say in the Mizmah Shaliyah Mashabbat. Because when it produces fruit, that's sad. The problem is, and the struggle in our lives is that it's painful. It's painful. The growth doesn't taste like the results. If only the eights would taste like the pre, then we'd all be wonderful. Everything would be great. Tam eights, katam fears, they were shoving. That would be how things should be. That's how this, and that's how we'll be in Olam Haba. That we'll be able to taste, we'll be able to rejoice in the struggles we underwent, because they will feel, they will be able to see and taste the greatness that comes out of it. But in Olam Hazeh, there's no possibility. That doesn't get translated. There's a gap between the eights and the three. There's a gap between the growth and the results. We never quite taste the full goodness while we're still growing in the painful process. And that becomes an excellent part of Olam Hazeh. And that's something that then was also chelik of what allowed Adam to make that mistake. And therefore, and it's also chelik of what allows each other. And therefore, of course, the Adama gets included in the chet of Adam. But what that means for each of us then is that our struggle is to break free of that subjectivity. It means that we may have to struggle at the time, may not always seem easy, but the payers are so beautiful. And the more we can try to think about those payers during the process, the more Mi'at Hashem we should be successful. There's much more to say, but Mi'at Hashem we should be successful.